You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN. I'm Steve Bertrand. I don't know if you heard about the discovery on the floor of the Straits of Mackinac earlier. They found 10,000-year-old stones placed in a circle, others in linear design, and they think it's evidence of people being there near the end of the Ice Age. We're going to spend this half hour talking to three people who were instrumental behind that discovery, and we start with Terry Wilkerson, who is a water advocate and a social justice activist who got the ball rolling, or the stones rolling, if you will, in a courtroom in June. Terry, welcome.
Thank you. So I just wanted to say that the area that we are talking about is just to the left of the Mackinac Bridge, and the Mackinac Bridge connects Michigan's upper and lower peninsulas.
So tell me how this whole thing started.
The story does start with a judge in Michigan asking why we didn't have independent information on this aging anchor-dented pipeline that runs in the Straits.
Mm-hmm.
So in late June, I was listening to Judge Damo during a hearing in which he issued a temporary restraining order to halt the flow of the 23 million gallons of oil that goes through Line 5. And he asked the question, why don't we have independent information for him to base his judgment on? And that is what got the ball rolling. So Andrea was one of my first calls. I called her and said, hey, I know you're very interested in this. Do you think that we could get tribal support to go down and get an independent look at Line 5
Terry,
so that we can really know what it's like?
Just to help with the storytelling, Andrea Pierce is with the Little Traverse Bay Bands of Odawa Indians and a water protector. So that's when that's who you called. Okay, go ahead.
Absolutely, yes. And so Andrea was immediately receptive to the idea, jumped all over it, and said that she would do whatever she could to raise tribal support. And she reached out, we both reached out to other people that we knew, Kelly Willis and Robert Lees, and got them involved as well to gather tribal support. So it took us the summer to get that support and to raise the money. And, of course, COVID slowed it all down.
Right.
Because it's on everybody's minds. And finally, by August, we had the money that we needed and the equipment that we needed, and we arrived in Mackinac City to get started.
And you started with a private contractor, right?
Yes. So we started with a contractor who got out onto the water and did some side scan sonar. And while he and I were out there, he commented that he thought he saw a potential cultural site.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know that there was the possibility of cultural sites in the area, so I mentioned it to Fred, and Fred was very excited about this possibility and explained to me that there were cultural sites nearby that he had personal experience with.
Fred Harrington is with the Little Travis Bay Band of Odawa as well. We're going to talk to him in just a few minutes. Go ahead.
And so we had a lot of weather delays because the weather in this area is very volatile. So one minute it can be calm and, you know, literally not that much later you can have substantial waves. For example, on the day that we were out, the waves were very low, and by the time we came back to shore, they were 5 to 6 foot waves.
Wow.
Which makes the project really difficult.
Okay, so you bring this project to Andrea and Fred. Fred gets very excited by the whole thing, and you end up getting your own ROV to look at the floor of the lake.
Yes, so these weather delays were becoming very expensive, and Fred is a retired IT professor, and he said, hey, the technology's changed a lot in the past couple of years. We should get our own ROV and go down there and look at our leisure. So we researched it and did just that. So that's really where the story turns to Fred.
That's Terry Wilkerson. Terry, thanks for telling that part of the story. We're going to take a break and be joined by Andrea and Fred coming up. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN. I'm Steve Bertrand. Okay, so we heard from Terry Wilkerson about this, how they got into the Straits of Mackinac, and they got word that there could be a cultural site on the floor, these circles placed in a stone and others in linear patterns and things like that. Terry said one of the first people she called was Andrea Pierce, who is with the Little Traverse Bay Bands of Odawa Indians. She's also a water protector, and she joins us now. So give me the Native American perspective a little bit. Why is the water so important, specifically to Native women?
I really think that the water is important to everybody, especially Native women. We carry the water. We're part of the water. We come from the water. We bring the water forward when we have our children. And I was raised that the women are the water protectors, but the men are there to support them.
So how does it feel to have made this discovery?
It's amazing and shocking and exciting, and I hope it'll do what we were hoping it would do. When Terry came to me and talked to me about going down to Lake Michigan, I have said for years, I've always wanted to see what was down there. And we were looking to check out if we possibly could Line 5. That was our goal.
So Line 5 is an oil pipeline, right? That's a controversial. That's how this all got started.
Yes, this is how it all got started. And it's two twin pipelines, actually.
Okay. And Terry's an advocate trying to hold it up, I guess, or close it down.
Did you? We all are. I actually held events up north to bring awareness to the pipeline up there. It was the pipe out, paddle up flotilla we have on Labor Day weekend.
But, you know, I would expect people looking for shipwrecks or things like that, not stone circles. Did you have any suspicion there might be something like that down there?
I didn't think stone circles. I actually thought, you know, we've heard tales of the underwater panther and the caverns and that are supposed to have been under there. I thought there might have been some of that, but I never expected the stone circles.
I should have started by saying Happy Indigenous Peoples Week to you.
Yes, thank you.
Andrea
Pierce. We've worked hard for that in Michigan.
Yeah.
We have. We've really worked hard for an Indigenous Peoples Day in Michigan.
Well, listen, I'm glad you took the time to join us, and I'm glad you had the perseverance to discover what you did. Fred Harrington joins us now on a phone line as well. He also is part of the Little Traverse Bay Bands of Odawa Indians. He's a councilman. As you heard earlier, he's an IT professor, or was anyway, and he was instrumental in getting that ROV and getting the view of the bottom. Fred, welcome to WGN.
Honey, thank you for having us.
Yeah, tell me about the discovery.
Well, it was pretty cool. I don't get quite as excited about everybody as everybody else did. I think it was more validating than exciting when we had that ROV, and it's almost like a racehorse with blinders on when you're cruising along the bottom with that. You know, you can only see so much. And all of a sudden, I could see a stone circle.
How big around was the circle?
It's difficult to tell. It might have been maybe 12 or 15 feet across.
Okay.
Might have been bigger. It looked pretty similar to the small stone circle out on Beaver Island, where we do ceremonies.
And Beaver Island's a little bit south of there, right?
Yeah, yep.
Help me out here, Fred. The circles, are we talking circles as in softball, boulders, or stones that you could sit on? What's kind of the size of these?
About the size of a bread basket. The ones on Beaver Island, the big stone circle, they're, you know, some of them are huge, 5-6 feet tall, and some of them are small, you know, the size of a bread basket on a small stone circle. So they're all in various sizes.
And these would have been placed there late in the ice ages?
Well, those probably were sometime around there, the depth of the water. But yeah, they're in various places around the Great Lakes. We've heard stories of them all my life. I've heard about them.
Right.
So it was almost like it was waiting there for me to find them.
What was it like when you found them? You're professing you're not that excited. I think you were more excited than you're letting on.
Well, yeah, my excitement is a little bit different than most people's. I get excited just paddling. Paddling G-Mon out there is like praying for me. Every time I dip my paddle in the water, I'm one step closer to the Creator. You know, using G-Mon to go out there and find this thing, it was surreal. Especially that day, we went out in the fog and we couldn't see anything. So being on the G-Mon, he kept us safe, and it was really neat.
Fred, we haven't explained yet what the G-Mon is, so do that for us.
G-Mon is a 32-foot canoe, you guys would call it. And there was about 24 of us that got together, a couple dozen people, and we decided to build one to get ourselves back to roots on the water and give rides and help people understand what it was like back in the old days when you would just paddle everywhere you went. But we built him very big, and he's incredibly safe. We gave him a name. G-Mon means they're kissing. When you look at the bow in the water and he's going through the water, they're kissing.
Mm.
And we have the Amos. The moose is the first clan of the Odawa. He's painted on the front. So it was really important to be on him when we went out there to look for these. You know, it was like going back in time. if you're ever involved in ceremonies, you use these ancient stones in your ceremonies, and it's like you're stepping back 2,000-3,000 years. You know, you're not in the same time frame when you're doing ceremonies with old stones or being in the circles. So finding them was really validating to see that these stories that we've heard all these years were true.
So what comes next? I would assume you don't want them moved, or do you want them preserved above water?
I would like to see them stay where they are and not get dug up. You know, Enbridge has barges out there every day. I'm afraid they'll get moved or dug up, or they should stay right where they are.
Is there a way you can get a court to order them be protected?
I hope so. That would be one of our next steps. Well, you know, you get lawyers involved in this business, and who knows what can happen, but our goal would be to protect them. It's no different than all the other ancient things that my tribe has found. We save them. We protect them. We use them. You know, stones are a large part of our ceremonies, so they're significantly important to us.
Fred,
it's not like finding a bunch of stones or rocks.
Oh no, I get that. Sure. Listen, I want to tell you, Fred, just talking to you and about your descriptions of being on the water and the peacefulness, that was beautiful. I think you brought my blood pressure down a little bit. Thank you for that.
It really is. For me, the night before we went out the first time, I was standing on the water's edge looking out over it, and the waves were too big to go out.
Yeah.
And I just realized how I just love the lake, Lake Michigan. I live on it. I swim in it. I drink it. I paddle in it. I pray in it. And you know, just the other day, somebody got a picture of a water spout out there by the bridge, and that's the spirits of the water reaching up to the clouds. And it's just a surreal place up there in the Straits, and to find that is validating.
Fred Harrington from the Odawa Indians, the councilman there, thank you for your stories, and I wish you continued success.
Well, thank you for having us.
You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN.